Our text for this evening, here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, is found in two verses. Verses 10 and 13. For in the first part of verse 10 we read, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered." And then in verse 13 we read, "Then saith he," that is the Lord Jesus, "then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other." It would be worthwhile for us this evening, if we were to take note of how our text opens. For it opens with the word, "Behold." And behold, there was a man which had a withered hand. The Lord Jesus had just entered into the synagogue, into a certain place of worship, and we are told, "Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered." And so the word "behold" is used by the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, to draw our attention to the fact that a man with a withered hand was in the very synagogue where Christ, the great physician, had just entered. Now, there may have been more distinguished members of the community in the synagogue that day. There may have been those doctors of the law. There may have been those members of the council present in the synagogue, but no "behold" is attached to their names. Instead, attention has been drawn by the Holy Spirit to this unknown individual. And here in Matthew's Gospel, a man that has been spoken of in just 1.5 verses. So what does this teach us? Why did the Spirit of God draw attention to this man and not to someone else who might happen to be in the synagogue that day? Surely the lesson is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is one who seeks and saves ordinary individuals. The Lord Jesus, in His great work of salvation, came into this world, yes, to seek and to save that which was lost, and more often than not, He has sought out those whom the world doesn't know, who will never be known by the world, who will go through this life and pass away from this scene of time, and the world will not even know they've existed. Just like this man. We never would have known anything about the man with the withered hand except the Spirit of God recorded the miracle that was wrought in his life. And maybe we might even have passed over this man in our reading of Matthew 12, if it had not been for the Spirit of God, including the word "behold." Look, the Spirit of God is saying, look, there is a man in the meeting with a withered hand. And upon that man, the Lord Jesus wrought a mighty miracle. My friend, tonight, you ought to take comfort from this great truth that the Lord Jesus is interested as we would say in the ordinary 5-8. The Lord Jesus is interested in saving the ordinary man and woman. That's where he was most often found during his earthly ministry. You never read of Christ going into palaces or into parliament buildings. No, you read more often of the Lord Jesus walking the dusty streets of villages and towns, ministering to the multitudes that gathered around him on the hills of Judea. That's who he was interested in. My sinner friend in the meeting tonight, Christ is interested in you. This text proves it. But there's something else here. Some may look at this meeting between the Lord Jesus and the man with the withered hand in the synagogue that day and say, oh, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. A man with a withered hand in a certain synagogue, and lo and behold, the great physician enters the same synagogue. Some would say that is a tremendous coincidence. That a man who needed a physician was in the very place where the physician was found. No, that wasn't a coincidence. It was all planned. Oh, maybe the man with the withered hand didn't know the Lord Jesus was going to be in the synagogue that day. But I can assure you of this. The Lord Jesus, when he entered the synagogue, knew there was a man there with a withered hand. And the Lord had planned it all. Your presence here tonight is no coincidence. This is not a chance meeting. The Lord has planned it. The Lord has planned, according to the sovereign will, that all who were gathered here tonight should have been here tonight. Remember when we had the Reverend Stephen Hamilton with us a year or so ago? He told us that story of how his father, when visiting America, took seriously ill. In the middle of the night, as they were making their way home, they were on a strange road, in a strange area. And Mr. Hamilton Sr. passed out in the car, and they all thought that he was dying. And where was he to go? And they just kept driving and driving and praying until they arrived at a certain hospital. And they brought Mr. Hamilton Sr. into that hospital, and they were able to take care of him, and they were able to do something for him. And now Mr. Hamilton as well. It turned out that that particular hospital that they brought Mr. Hamilton's father to was a hospital that specialized in dealing with the complaint that Mr. Hamilton had. Coincidence? Not at all. The Lord had planned it all. Billy Hamilton was brought to a hospital that specialized in dealing with the condition that he had. And the Lord Jesus planned that this man with the withered hand, who needed the touch of the Master, who needed the healing touch of the Master, should be in that synagogue on that day that Jesus Christ was there. And the Lord Jesus knows the need of every one of us tonight. And so the Lord Jesus planned it. We should all be here tonight. It's not a coincidence. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. And you need the touch of the great physician's hand. You need to know His miracle working power in your life. And lo and behold, you're in this meeting and the physician is here as well. Christ is here also. So the Lord Jesus was in the same meeting place, the same house of worship as the man with the withered hand, and what took place. I trust that what took place in the synagogue will take place in this meeting house tonight. Because that man's life was changed. And I'm praying that lives will be changed here tonight through a meeting with Christ. First of all, let us consider the man and his condition. Since the Spirit of God has called our attention to this man in the synagogue, let us then look at him. Since the Spirit of God has said, "Behold." And as we pointed out this morning in the New Testament, there are three words for behold. And one of them means to point with a finger. Here it is again. The Lord, the Spirit of God, is pointing, as it were. He wants us to give attention to this man who was in the synagogue. And so what might we learn about him? Well, first of all, we note his attendance at the synagogue. He had gone up at the hour to worship. Some of the people whom the Lord Jesus healed, he met on the roadside, or he met in towns, or he met in villages, or he met in their own homes. But lo and behold, this man, he met with him in a place of worship. My, and many souls have met with Christ in a place of worship. We thank God for those souls who met with Christ in their own homes. But here this man met the Lord in a place of worship. Now we don't know whether or not this man was a religious individual. He had some affiliation with this synagogue. That's why he was there. There was some semblance of religiosity about this individual, but I see that merely attending the service in the synagogue did nothing for this man's condition. Didn't do anything for his withered hand. Now you might say, well, really, we wouldn't expect a mere attendance in the house of God to do anything for a man's withered hand. Let me say this. There are those today and they're suffering with a far worse condition than the withered hand. They're suffering from a condition that will take them out into a lost eternity. But they're hoping that by merely attending the house of God, that will do something for their condition. Mere attendance at the house of God will do as much for their condition as it did for this man with the withered hand. Yet, my friend, there are many, and that's all they're resting on. That's all they have. Because that's what they believe. They believe with all of their heart that if they attend the house of God, if they give to the church, if they do the best they can, then that will make them acceptable. That will prepare them for the kingdom of heaven. My friend, in this meeting tonight, I hope and I pray that's not what you're depending on. Because if you are, if you're depending on your church to save your soul, you're depending on the wrong thing. Your trust is in a refuge of lies, the Bible says. No, it's not the church you need, it's Christ you need. This man with the withered hand was in the synagogue, but he still needed Christ. Souls may be good church attenders, but if they're not saved, they still need Christ. They can have their names in the church roll, but if they've never been to the cross, they still need Christ. They need to depend on the Lord for salvation. In the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others depend on good works or opinions, if they may, let me say tonight, this preacher can say, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. My, when you depend on the blood of Christ for eternity, you're depending on a sure foundation. Look again and consider this man's affliction. We are told that this man had a withered hand, and according to Luke's accounts of the incident, it was his right hand. Now this man's affliction was severe enough. Since Luke tells us it was his right hand, that would indicate the man indeed was right-handed. But since he didn't have the use or the power of his right hand, then he was helpless and he was hopeless as far as gaining employment and earning bread for himself and perhaps his family. But when you look at this man and look at others whom the Lord Jesus was pleased to heal, you would say, well, this man's condition wasn't as bad as others. After all, he did heal the lepers. What an awful disease leprosy is. If you read last issue of The Truth for Youth, you will see the kind of people that our brother Dr. Bill Woods is ministering to out there in Brazil, seeking to eradicate that awful disease, leprosy. And there's a photograph of a man sitting on a bed with no hands and no feet, blind. But he loves the Lord. Christ saved them. So this man with the withered hand, his condition wasn't as bad as others whom the Lord had met. He had healed the lepers. He had healed the blind. He had healed the dumb. He had healed the deaf. He had healed the halt. He had healed those whose bodies were ravished with disease. You look at this man, you say, well, he only has a withered hand. Do you know that's how some people look at their own condition? Some people say, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Oh, I'm not as bad as that foul-mouthed individual that lives down the street from me. If anybody needs salvation, it's that man. And they look at the drunkard and they say, oh, that man needs salvation. Or the drug addicts. Or the wife beater, they say, oh, that man needs salvation. Not me. I'm not as bad as those people. Well, here is this man with a withered hand. He wasn't as bad as the leper. I wouldn't regard his condition to be as bad as the poor soul who was both blind and deaf and dumb. But he still needed Christ. That's the important thing. He still needed the Lord. He may not have been as bad as others, but he was bad enough to need the Lord's healing touch. And my sinner friend, tonight you may have it all worked out in your mind that you're not as bad as so-and-so. You still need Christ. Doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how highly you regard yourself. You still need the Lord. Nicodemus was a religious man. A very religious man. But he still needed the Lord. The Lord said, Nicodemus, he must be born again. So do you. You must be born again. You need Christ. If you think that you're well enough, as the Pharisees thought, they didn't need the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so you feel perhaps tonight that you're not in any need of the Lord Jesus. You don't need the physician. Well, those that are in heaven and will be in heaven are those who knew they needed Christ. If you don't think you need Christ and you don't need the physician and you don't need His healing touch upon your spiritual needs, then you'll not be in heaven. Heaven is made up with those who knew they needed Christ. My friend, you need Christ. Your greatest need this side of eternity is the Lord Jesus. Next, we notice his audience. This man in Matthew 12 had quite an audience. For we are told in verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, that is the Lord Jesus, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? That's why they asked the question, that they might accuse him. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? But I want you to notice what they said, exactly what they said. They said, or they asked him, is it lawful to heal? Why did they say that? Why did they challenge the Lord with this question? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? The answer is obvious. They asked the question because they knew the Lord Jesus had power to heal that man. And they were waiting for the Lord to heal him there on that Sabbath day in the synagogue. They knew the Lord Jesus had power to heal him. Didn't matter what his condition was. They knew. Whatever that complaint may have been, they knew the Lord had power to heal him. And that came from the lips of the ungodly. Wonder, my friend, do you know that tonight? Do you know that Christ has power to heal you of your ailing spiritual condition? Do you know tonight that whatever your complaint, whatever your sin, however great your sin, the Lord Jesus has power to heal you tonight. To heal your sin-sick soul. He has power. And He can heal you tonight. Make your soul whole. And make you acceptable in the sight of God. That's why we chose that hymn to sing tonight. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. And glory to God, there's still power. And there always will be power. Next, we notice the Master and His call. Wherever the Lord's ministry took Him, there was always a hostile group of people who followed Him. As we pointed out on other occasions, that hostile group was usually made up of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders. Primarily the Pharisees. As we've already noted, there were those in the synagogue who were asking Him questions just to try and catch Him out so that they might accuse Him. And so they came and they said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" They were looking for an opportunity to accuse Him. Accuse Him of breaking the Sabbath day. Christ knew this, of course, but it didn't make any difference. He went ahead and healed the man. Now that speaks to me of the willingness of Christ. See, it didn't matter what criticism was aimed at Him. He didn't care what the Pharisees might have said. There was a man before Him in that synagogue who needed Him. And He demonstrates His willingness to help him and to heal him. And He went ahead and healed him. Oh, the willingness of Christ to heal the sin-sick soul. Oh, the willingness of Christ to save sinners. Here it is again. You'll find it in every book in the Bible. His willingness to save. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit drew up the plan of salvation. Someone needed to come to execute that plan. And the Father said, "Who will go for us?" Jesus Christ the Son said, "Here am I, send me." See His willingness. And when the Father demanded a sacrifice be made for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ with willing heart said, "I will be that sacrifice." And when the Father demanded the shedding of blood, Christ, with a willing heart, said, "I will shed my blood." And when the Father demanded the death of the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will lay down my life." See His willingness. His willingness to save the lost. His willingness to come. His willingness to shed His blood. His willingness to die. And Christ is just as willing tonight to save every unsaved soul in this meeting this evening. I'm glad. How glad I am that I can preach a willing Christ. He'll save the whosoever. Whosoever. Notice the word of Christ. We're told by Luke that the Lord Jesus entered into the synagogue and taught. Luke 6 verse 6. He had a message for that congregation. He entered into the synagogue and taught. But then we read here in Matthew, synagogue to teach the congregation. And as he was teaching the congregation, he had a word for one person in particular. And that one person in particular was the one man that we read about in this passage who had the withered hand. The Lord had a personal word for him. You know, the word of the Lord tends to do that at times. The preacher can enter the pulpit, open the word and begin preaching. And as far as he is concerned, the Lord has given him a message, a word for the congregation. But as he preaches, Spirit of God takes that word and applies that word to someone in particular. That soul sits in the meeting and they know with all of their heart God is speaking to them. I wonder, is that where you are tonight? Here's a message being declared from this pulpit to this congregation. But is the Lord speaking personally to someone here tonight? And you're saying, that's a word for me. Everything the preacher has said, you're saying in your own heart, that's true about me. Now, if the Lord in His providence brought you here tonight, and you're not here by chance, then the Lord has a word for you. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, then I urge you, don't turn a deaf ear to His voice. Instead, in the words of Fanny J. Crosby, sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. O, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Your souls in eternity tonight. And they wish they could hear that voice again. They wish they could hear the gospel again. But they never will. The next time they hear the voice of Christ, it will be from the great white throne. When Christ says to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. You hear the voice of the Lord tonight speaking to you. I urge you with all of my heart, come to Christ and make Him your Savior. Then I notice here the work of Christ. We are told that the Lord said to this man, stretch forth thy hand, verse 13. Then it says, he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now you will notice that what was done for this man was done by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The man couldn't help himself. The man couldn't heal himself. And there wasn't another person in the synagogue who could help him or heal him. And so when the Lord Jesus healed this man, the Lord Jesus healed him by himself. It was a work that was done by Christ alone. And you know there are some people today and they think they need to give the Lord Jesus a helping hand. They think that salvation comes by Christ and what they do. Not so. If you think that salvation comes by what Christ has done and what you do, you will never be saved. Never. You can only be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. It's not Christ and the church. It's not Christ and your good works. It's not Christ and you doing the best you can. It's Christ alone. It was the Lord Jesus who alone changed this man's life and healed him. My friend, you see, salvation is the work of the Lord Jesus alone. Isaiah tells us at Calvary, he did tread the winepress alone. And when he hung upon that cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Everyone else had forsaken them. During those 3 hours of darkness, Christ was absolutely alone. And your salvation comes from Christ alone. And all that he has done. You don't need to supplement his work. He has done the work himself. It's a finished work and it's a completed work. Then I notice here finally the miracle and the cure. And the Lord Jesus said to this man, stretch forth thine hand, we read, and he stretched it forth. There's his obedience. Now, do you think that if the Lord Jesus told this man to stretch forth his hand and the man had refused to stretch forth his hand, do you think he would have been healed? I don't think so. The book tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you don't call, you'll never be saved. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you don't come, you'll never have rest. And so we see this man's obedience. He was bound to obey. If the man wanted to be healed of his infirmity, he was bound to obey. He knew that. We've all been to see a physician at some time or another. and he has examined us and said, this is what you need to do. Now, would you not be a fool if after being told what to do by the physician, you walked out of his room and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to that man. Well, you wouldn't be healed. When the Lord Jesus Christ said to the man, stretch forth thy hand, he was bound to stretch it forth if he wanted to be healed. My friend, you're bound to come to Christ if you want to be saved. But that's not all. I'd like you to turn to Luke's Gospel and his account. Because Luke, the beloved physician, gives us a little more detail. And in Luke chapter 6, we read in verse 8. Luke 6, verse 8. And he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. In verse 10, and looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And so the Lord didn't only tell him to stretch forth his hand, he told him to stand up. He said, arise, rise up. And then he said, stand forth. And then he said, stand forth in the midst. Come right into the middle of the synagogue, where everybody can see you. And there the man stands with that poor, withered hand. And now the Lord says, stretch it forth. I have no doubt that poor soul up until that moment had tried to hide that withered hand. But now he was been told to rise up, stand forth, come out into the midst of the synagogue, and then stretch forth his hand. And I see that this man was bold in his obedience, because he didn't care how many were in the synagogue that day. And he didn't care what they thought of him, and he didn't care what they said about him. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And my friend, that's one of the great ploys of the devil. Gospel meeting comes to a close. The Spirit of God is at work. And sinners are troubled. And they want to get saved. And the devil says, what about your friends? What will your friends say? And then you put it off. This man didn't care what his friends said or what his enemies said. The Lord said, rise up. Stand forth in the midst, stretch forth thy hand. And the man with the withered hand did exactly what the Lord told him. And he was made whole. Don't you listen to the devil. Listen to Christ. If the Lord says to you tonight, come, then come. If the Lord says to you tonight, call on my name and I'll save you, then you call. If the Lord says tonight, look unto me and be ye saved, then look. Don't go out of the meeting tonight without obeying the word of the Lord. And you have the observation. For we are told that when this man did exactly what the Lord told him to do, he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole like as the other. Verse 13. It was restored whole like as the other.
the Lord did a perfect work. He always does, of course. There was the man, his withered hand restored to perfect health, just like the other. I'm sure he could say, well, now I'm a complete man. He was no doubt complete in Christ as well. And I trust that tonight you will come and obey the Lord's word, and the Lord will make you whole also. He'll make you whole, every whit whole. And that sin-sick soul, he will cure it in an instant. And give you life eternal. And then you have his omnipotence. For we are told that the Lord Jesus, telling this man to stretch forth his hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as they are. There is the omnipotence of Christ. It didn't matter what the need of the man was. Christ met it. He met the need of the lepers. He met the needs of the blind. He met the needs of the halt. He met the needs of the dumb and the deaf. He met the needs of every one of them. He is omnipotent. You see, there's not a need that he cannot meet. And there's not a burden he cannot lift. And there's not a problem he cannot solve. And there's not a soul he cannot save. And there's not a sin he cannot wash away. And here you are in the meeting tonight, and Christ is here. Call upon him while he is near. You may leave this meeting. Never have an opportunity like this again to get saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving God and gracious Father, we pray that thou would apply the word. It has gone forth tonight, dear Lord, from lips of clay. And we ask thee, dear Father, that by thy Spirit, the word will be applied to hearts. And the word tonight will open eyes. And the word tonight will bring sinners to the cross. O gracious Lord, answer prayer. And bring glory to thy name through the salvation of souls. For Lord, we know that we're only a heartbeat away from eternity. Save the lost, we pray. Now, Lord, be with us as we leave this house. Take us to our homes in safety. And abide with us there. And even, Lord, in homes tonight, may sinners get right with God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.